Are you hungry for the usual today? Or are you ready to spice things up with the new Nashville Hot Brisket from Firehouse Subs? We're kicking up our slow-smoked beef brisket with Nashville Hot Seasoning. It's topped with melted pepper jack and our sweet and tangy slaw, served piping hot on a toasted cornbread roll. Yeah, a cornbread roll. Save time. Order your new Nashville Hot Brisket on the Firehouse Subs app today. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations limited time only.
Welcome to the ROI of Y, your podcast that is all things business as it relates to impact and purpose. I'm Andrew Tuzon, the Vice President of Creative at Firespring, and once again, I am joined by the very lovely Angie Kubicek.
Hello.
Romy, how are you?
Doing wonderful.
So, I don't know if you understand the caliber of conversation we're about to have.
Oh, why do you think I wore my white blazer?
Just feeling fancy.
I just feel like I needed to put on my fancy blazer for this one and get ready.
I'm gonna go rogue a little bit here.
Oh, I love it when you go rogue, right? And I don't know it because I'm not type A at all. And it's fine.
You know, some people get worried when Andrew goes rogue.
I feel like it's part of the gig, right?
Right.
So, you gotta be ready for it.
John, who we're talking to today.
Yes.
I'm going to read you a snippet of his bio.
Okay.
Just to kind of set the stage for what we're going to do today. So John guides the strategy, engagement, and creative for three television brands. Not just one, three, you know, somewhat known brands. We have Disney Channel, Disney XD, Disney Junior. His properties include High School Musical, Descendants, Andy Mack, Raven's Home, DuckTales, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, Mickey Mouse, may have heard of that guy. But Star Wars. My God. If we can cue up a photo, Dustin, from my office right now, like I am a nerd through and through, and there's just so much Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Like just that's...
I feel like you should have been on the sixth day of the Disney cruise I went on, or the fifth day.
No, when I've been
it
on
was,
that cruise.
I could have, yeah. By the end of the day, I felt like I was a stormtrooper,
right,
because of the music.
So it's funny. So like I have three kids and did that cruise, and my mom and my stepdad were on that cruise with us. And when Star Wars Day happened, you know, I take the kids and we're doing the thing. And my mom pulled me aside at the end. She's like, today was more for you than it was for them, wasn't it? And I was very honest. And I said, yeah,
it was.
You know it, right? I know how to use the force now. So
you
back
do.
Up. I want to, with great power comes great responsibility, Mom.
Duly noted. Duly noted.
So before we jump in, though, we do have to recognize the Do More Good Conference as the sponsor,
yes,
of today's show. If you're not familiar with the conference, I know we've been talking about it a lot, but hop over to domoregoodconference.com where you can learn all about the amazing things happening here in Lincoln, Nebraska. It is an annual thing. Right now you can check out the current roster of speakers. There's some amazing talent on the platform.
Killer.
Yeah, it's unreal.
And I think for what people may not know is that this is the first year of this conference. So it's the inaugural year. And if you look at who we have, it's pretty compelling to know that this is not just like a moment in time movement. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. is a thing that's going to be around for a long time.
And it's not a thing that you can like feel that it's first year either. I think that's like the big
yeah.
kicker is like it was done right, you know?
I know. A lot of great planners helped pull this together. And
yeah.
kudos and hats off to them because it has been really flawless. And the fact that people are walking away with a roadmap on how to help their companies start to do more good is just icing on a cake.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So we love working with Do More Good. We really appreciate their support and them having our back. So like with that being said,
yes,
let's do the thing, right?
Let's dive
jump
in.
So John Rood sitting with us in the studio today. John...
Andrew.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I want to learn all the things about you, who you are, where you come from, what you do, the impact that you're making. But before we go there, I got some trivia for you, man.
Oh, shoot. Oh. Star Wars trivia.
Yeah, duh. Favorite Star Wars movie?
Fourth one, or yeah, episode four, the first one,
mm-hmm.
right, from 77.
Because mm-hmm.
it was, it's a weird having a property that everyone has been alive for the history of it.
Right.
Marvel precedes us. Mickey Mouse precedes us. Pixar, of course, is in most of our lifetimes.
Yeah.
But growing up in all these films, excited for 9.
Yes.
in December, but certainly it's got to be four.
Do you know? I know you can't tell me, but do you know who Ray's parents are?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I should act like I do, but I don't.
You could have played me, right? You could be like, I totally know, and I'll email you, but you can't tell me. I'll sign an NDA, John.
He would even give you a LaCroix if you told him.
I would share.
And he doesn't share.
Too kind. Andrew's going to come out and see our Star Wars stuff that's opening at the park in Anaheim. It's going to be great. Yep. We have another attraction in Orlando as well, and it's just a crazy cool time.
Did we just get invited?
Let's do a follow-up episode of the podcast at the park.
Yeah. Well, you got to admit, I'm just coming.
Okay. We got to make that. We'll talk after.
Or maybe Skywalker Ranch. Get you Northern California.
Yes. Let's just do a tour.
Yeah.
We'll take in the show on the road. John, welcome.
First off, Omaha now.
Adding a third host. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, nice.
Get you on the payroll. Well, it'll be good stuff.
Good to be here. Now, Angie's been a good supporter of the brand, too. She's taking a family to the cruise.
Yeah, it was.
And you as well.
Yeah,
dang.
It was pretty phenomenal. It was their first big Disney experience, and we went cruise, and it was the best.
Bless their hearts.
Yeah, and my daughter broke her leg 4 days before the cruise, and she wouldn't have known. The crew was so amazing. Oh, so good. I have to say, hats off to the Disney team that was on our cruise at the end of February, because my daughter had the best time. We have her cast like saved because it has all the signatures, and she will remember that forever.
I echo that sentiment. Nas was the dude that like waited on our family.
And Nas?
Not the Nas, not Illmatic Nas. Oh, that'd be cool, right?
If you could pull that off.
Yeah, right? All he needs is one mic on a Disney cruise. It's amazing what happens there. This guy named Nas, and he was just so in tune with our family and just like very, like, you guys roll out the red carpet in a way that I've never experienced before, and it's on a whole nother level, and it's done so right.
I take it very seriously. There's 200,000 of us, and so there's going to be some bad apples in the bunch, and it's harder and harder to find good help, and it's especially if we don't pay competitively down in Orlando where there are other parks and attractions that somebody could work at. But obviously, we've all been exposed to the Disney brand through initially a cool experience with a property or a cast member, and at this conference this week in Lincoln, Do More Good, it's the same kind of message that if it is to be, it's up to we, that kind of thing, and that the people have to be the ones that can exact a purpose for their company. And so of all the 5 P's in the marketing mix, kids, you listening at home, remember, it's price, product, promotion, place, and people. And that 5th P, man, it's what makes Disney versus the other soulless media conglomerates.
So let's talk about Disney, right? Specifically, your role with Disney. Yeah. I'm really interested to find out about your career, what got you to the point where you're at today, what you do for the company. Like, just drop a little bit of that on us.
Yeah, so as a Nebraskan, I somehow subconsciously followed the same type of notion as Walt Disney himself, who was from Missouri. And for me, Disney was like Mecca, man. Maybe one day I'd get there. Mm-hmm. Who knows if I could or not. And so the deprivation, not having a phone at my age and back then, or not getting to know about everything Disney, made the mystique all that much cooler. We only saw it 1 hour a week on TV and maybe one movie a year, that kind of thing. So I really thought Disney was pretty something special. And so working, I went to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, then I went to the University of Texas and got my MBA, and then I went out to Chicago for advertising and just loved marketing and loved advertising. Then I didn't get out to California until I was 25 for a business trip and fell in love with the studio, just the idea of working at a studio. I'm like, God damn, I could push a broom and that would be pretty cool, and I'll get it out of my system and return to Chicago. And that was 26 years ago.
That's amazing.
Half of those years at Warner Brothers and half at Disney. So I've been a studio guy the whole time. And
seen it all.
I think so. Feels like it. now I'm back at Disney for another tour, and I serve as the head of marketing for Disney Channels. And we have a bunch of folks doing a bunch of cool storytelling for television, and it's usually on your cable and satellite dial, but pretty soon it's coming to an app near you.
Yep.
Disney Plus, our new app on November 12th. We're awfully excited to bring all the classic TV, plus first run stuff, plus some exclusive content.
Plus Brink. I just gotta put that out there real quick.
You all about Brink?
Grew up as a rollerblader, and I'm gonna like openly admit I still am a rollerblader. And so Brink holds a very special place in my heart. And when I saw, I think it was like 2 months ago, that was announced that was going to make the cut to the app, Like you can't find it anywhere.
I introduced my kids to Xenon. That was like
yes
to on the Disney cruise. Like I mentioned, my daughter had a broken leg, so we got a lot of like Disney time of watching things. And so we were in our room, and I was like, "They have Xenon," and got geeked out. And it was a thing. And,
yeah. What we don't mention is that while Angie was watching the TV set, her kid was using the Wi-Fi to watch Netflix or something on her phone. And so,
Wi-Fi on a cruise, right?
How do you do a brand that's cool to parents and to kids? And how do you do a brand that's cool to yesterday and to tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And we're having a heck of a time retaining kids because it's just so hyper-competitive. Disney Channel, when you guys were kids, was largely the only game in town other than Nick. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm faced with an entirely different challenge, how to make our storytelling appropriate for this hyper-competitive time and this very discerning audience that can be their own scheduler and programmer thanks to their own phone.
Right, and it's a changing landscape, right? Like, so my daughter's 11 and my boys are 5 and 3. And I'm a huge creature for nostalgia, right? I love it. And I love like going back to the stuff that I grew up with and sharing that with my kids. And a lot of the films and animated films that I grew up loving, I try to get my 5-year-old and my 3-year-old to buy into it and get on board. And it's just, like, it's not for me, Dad. And I think a lot of that is because of the style of animation. And you can see that in your guys' work now. Like if you look at the reboot of DuckTales that was just released versus like the original approach to the animation, there's a lot of differences there. My question, though, is with the evolving landscape of YouTube, right, and the amount of content creators that exist that are creating content around opening toys and just like those types of programs, like how do you guys plan to combat that? Like, I think that'd be really interesting.
It's a great question. It's our daily challenge. Mm-hmm. You have the history of the moving image on your kid's phone, and any nincompoop with a phone can be a publisher now. Right? So how does the quality imperative that got Disney to the mountaintop keep Disney at the mountaintop? Mm-hmm. Do we run towards the garbage on the YouTube with unboxing videos or crude created stuff or 8-hour gaming playalongs or whatever? And any good brand is judged by what it says no to.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So can Disney hold to its special entertainment with heart, secret sauce, and do it in a way that rolls with the new? Obviously, it's not enough to do theatrical films anymore, or it's not enough to have just 2 parks in the United States anymore. So innovation just largely means bringing that Disney magic to the consumer where they are now versus yesteryear, how they're consuming media differently versus yesteryear. But we seem to be missing out on a lot of the time wasting that's done on devices, and we just have to hold to what makes us special.
But if the stance and the position is like, we don't want to be everything to everyone.
Yeah.
Right? Like you said, it's all about knowing how and when to say no.
Right.
And I think that's huge.
Well, imagine, so we're a niche brand.
Exactly.
We were the only game in town before. And so to devolve or focus, I suppose, towards special entertainment with heart, obviously happy endings and hugging and learning, and these are the kinds of things don't appeal to every kid, nor should they. And so we just have to find out what Disney kids they do appeal to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To the question of what's more important to us as a business, your guys' affinity or that of your kids, the answer is yes. Like, how do we get the generation that loves Disney and appreciates the nostalgia of it, and then how do we roll with the new and get the tomorrow's kids that don't have any great affinity for Mickey Mouse or some of the older characters of ours?
Yeah.
And certainly the, you know, Iger's wise strategy towards acquisition among Pixar, Marvel, Lucas, and now Fox just broadens the promise of Disney.
Right. Just diversification there.
Ideally.
Yep.
I love it. So we were talking about just like the people and how that makes up. So how do you lead your teams? It's been a common conversation throughout a lot of our podcast interviews this week, but just what's your leadership style within your teams to make them emulate?
It has evolved over time. I mean, I will offer that we're at such a great company. I feel fortunate that we have high achievers when they get in the door. Mm-hmm. There's very little motivation required. And so that just presents a different set of problems. If these people all want my job tomorrow, that's a different situation entirely. My advice to anyone listening is to succeed in Hollywood, which is where I've spent most of my career, would be some combination, to borrow an agriculture ideal, of the 4 H's, right? Heart, health, hands, and head. Set aside health for a second, because that's everything. Mm-hmm. But imagine, we need employees, cast members at Disney that have the perfect balance of hand, head, and heart. Hardworking, smart, and nice. And y'all know plenty of folks that have two out of three, right, that are nice and smart, but won't stick around and roll up the extension cords after the meeting, or who are nice and hardworking, but
Very few fall into the overlaps of that Venn diagram,
that's right.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so as a manager or a leader of people, I've recently learned manager is a bit of a controlling idea. You're literally managing their potential and choking it off, which is probably a bad verb. So I'm thinking more of it as coaching. So as in coaching this team of 100 or my six direct reports, I try to get them mindful of that hand, head, and heart balance, but then also the balance of the direction in which you do lead. At any level, anyone, whether they're highly titled or not, can lead up, laterally, and down. Up would be no surprises to your boss. Mm-hmm. Laterally to your colleagues would just be kind of golden rule type stuff, you know, do unto others. Would you like to be copied on that email? Would you like to be invited to that meeting? And then managing down, it used to be the dumbest person in the room. Now in the information age and the millennial expectation, it's not a complaint of mine, but just an observation that they are together with their coworkers at all times. Mm-hmm. It's a brand new idea from not too long ago. When I started out working, you'd see your boss's boss at the Christmas party.
Yeah.
Right? Now they want to see their boss's boss all the time and work on Project Banana every hour with check-ins and connection and such. And they want to know what I'm up to and what my fears are and what my professional goals are. And so you have a togetherness imperative like never before, not just the people on your team, of course, but all around the place. And so you got to be a person that's good at listening, good at indulging, good at making time for each other.
And it's an art form too, right? Like it really is.
Oh, it's truly an art form. Yeah. And that boils down to comfort in one's own skin. We're going to see people at this Do More Good conference who you can just tell are putting on a facade of altruism or a facade of caring. And then you'll see some folks that are just genuine about it because they don't know any other way.
Right. They're
right.
Real.
Yeah.
You mentioned Project Banana. Is that a super secret Star Wars thing you can't tell me about?
It involves Rey's parents. It has a lot of appeal.
John, you're killing me.
Project Banana. No, okay. So many
just
projects.
Just give me the NDA.
Project Banana is the new imperative. We, every day at any company, big or small, because the competition is diversified and because of the innovation of technology in particular, who knows what you're working on? So you're not just doing a trade like one did back in the industrial age when it was muscle jobs. Mm-hmm. And then next came brain jobs during the information age. And so if you don't want to be replaced by the robots, you better do heart jobs as well, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where the personal art form or the personal what you bring to it as an individual matters.
Well said. So a common theme on the show, you know, we're talking about the way that organizations are driving impact and doing more good in the world and just trying to change the shape of the landscape, right? Leave the earth in a better state in which we found it. So what I always like to dig into is, you know, what is it that you do specifically within your role and within your teams to like elevate and do more good, right? Like how are you approaching that?
Yeah, I try to use the mixed economy. There are corporate opportunities, of course. Disney's a long partner of Make-A-Wish and other great, great initiatives. And so there's always a great opportunity because of Disney's role in the community to have our team participate in what we call volunteers with an EARS.
I see what you did.
Right?
So clever.
And, you know, it would be ignorant to suggest all we do in these areas of corporate social responsibility and volunteering and environmental recognition is because of altruism. It's just not. It's good business, largely, to show you're in the community in all facets. And you get some self-congratulation and maybe a heightened stock price when you talk about your environmental efforts nowadays. And the new generation of employees expect this in their company. It's table stakes. It's not something nice to possibly have. You must have it where purpose matters as much as paycheck. So we do it not just out of the kindness of our hearts, but it's cool to be at a company that culture company-wide is about giving to one another, giving back.
Yeah. The reality, though, is just like not everything is rainbows and unicorn farts, right?
Yeah.
So like what challenges have come along for the ride with respect to that?
Sure. Well, part of it is just the aforementioned overachiever that works at Disney, that they feel guilty associated with having a flexibility to mm-hmm. their workday, which is better for their families, or they feel guilty about spending time on volunteering, which because of the competition associated with working at a cutthroat, mm-hmm. you know, business. So the good leaders will manage expectations and remember that there's other ways to develop around here than just ringing the bell on a profit thing yeah. or a business only kind of thing. So we just give them plenty of opportunities to give back. The company's generous, so to speak, when it comes to matching corporate donations. That's been a great way to customize how you would give differently to charities than I, and then have Disney match that contribution from their cast member.
So something about you that I know because of our CEO, Jay, is that you guys attended Launch Leadership, and I know how much that affected his life. And the quote that he has, like, across our company, that while he was at Launch, he had this moment of realization that he was waiting, and he puts it back to that, but that's where he had the quote, but he was waiting to almost start this feeling of, like, doing more good, because he thought it was something you did after you retired. And then he had this, like, aha moment where he's like, no, I can start doing that today. And I think so much of the core tenets that he got at Launch Leadership has shaped who Jay is today. So how did going to something like that in your younger years kind of help evolve how you got to where you are?
Yeah, it was an amazing epiphany for me as a high school kid to go to this. At the time, it was called Nebraska Association of Student Councils, and now it's called launchleadership.org. Mm-hmm. It used to be in Blair, Nebraska. Now it's in Wayne, Nebraska, for the Summer Leadership Workshop. But their programs are year-long, and it's for all ages and not just for the student council type. But to meet kind of like-minded folks that wanted to give back, or like-minded folks that wanted to get into student leadership, and then just feel at home with them and their, one, just sheer excellence. These were smart and charming people from all walks of life and all parts of the state of Nebraska at the time, and now many states are served by and participate in launchleadership.org. Mm-hmm. It's meant a great deal to me, and guys like Jay Wilkinson at Firespring, or Randy Hawthorne at Foundry, mm-hmm. or Rick Alloway at the University of Nebraska Journalism School. These people have been lifelong role models and have brought that spirit of servant leadership to their day job. I have not been as good at that as they have. I have chosen rather consciously to go be for profit and then write checks. Mm-hmm. But they do a much better job of both financial contribution and volunteer time.
But I think we've had a handful of other meetings where we've talked about just starting to get that thinking about community give back or impact or connection at an early age is really going to be critical as we think about where our society is kind of evolving to over the next dozens of years. And so as you kind of are shaping Disney Channel and the content, my children are obsessed with Disney Channel. They watch XD all the time. I'm sure my husband's like, please tell him to sometimes interject like something else. But just you guys have this unique platform to where you are instilling a lot of those kind of, I think, tenets that you get at Launch.
Yeah.
Within your programming.
It's no accident that I got led to storytelling that has a higher purpose.
Yeah.
And I take great pride in when Disney does it right. Beyond the base needs on the pyramid of visual entertainment or art or whatever, you get into transcendence and self-awareness and the underrepresented classes seeing themselves on the mm-hmm. screen, which is a new idea in Hollywood, but we're doing it well. And so it's God's work. And luckily, I got a great development from my family and from the Midwest and from organizations like LaunchLeadership.org. And now the Do More Good Conference and the Nonprofit Hub and Firespring and others that are just saying, hey, both can be accomplished, mm-hmm. And so it's very satisfying for me to be in this line of work. And, mm-hmm. and when you hear from families like yours that each have a special experience associated with it, that's what I'm in it for.
That's amazing.
Oh shit. Yeah. And the paycheck.
Right. It's all about that balance, right?
It is.
Truly.
So, like, one thing that we've asked almost every guest on the show is, like, throughout your entire journey, right, have you experienced this, like, story or this aha moment where you realized, like, this is the purpose, right? This is your pathway to purpose, like what sent you down this road, whether it's you identifying that it was to be in you know, storytelling, or it was to be in storytelling with an organization that also had a massive commitment to being a force for good, right?
Yeah, it's a circular trip. It's quite a journey. And Jay Wilkinson mentioned just yesterday at the Do More Good conference that culture is a journey.
Yeah.
So my personal development as a leader is definitely a journey that comes from bad experience. You know, I get smarter at this through mistakes and such. So you have to find your own leadership style. You have to be comfortable in your own skin. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a humility, which doesn't necessarily work with the understanding of how to get up the corporate ladder. So can you be ambitious and be hard charging and be goal oriented, but then also take care of yourself and know that there's an opportunity or an objective as a leader to take care of the others? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been really something. But one big epiphany was when I realized one should try to, they don't have to like you, but they have to like working with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that got this whole disease to please BS out of my system, where I have to be happy with my day or my work year or whatever and not get too caught up in being loved. But that said, you need to work within a system. Of course, a big company like Disney requires a lot of collaboration and give and take. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. once I, again, learned they don't have to like you, but they do have to like working with you.
Right. Well said. I mean, you spend so many hours a day with these people, and you know what I mean? Like, there has to be that level of just like synergy and you know, being able to work collaboratively in a room, especially when you're working with creatives, right? Like, that's the side of the agency at Firespring that I manage. And so,
right.
And I am a creative, right? So I understand like how difficult we can be to.
Never. No one would ever say that about a
creative. But Andrew, you're good at Mandarin because you learned how to speak Cantonese, right? You're good at art because you had to empathize with the business side of things.
Right.
If you've got colleagues that are wildly unimaginative and rather boring like Angie.
Yeah.
Right?
Super boring.
You're like the least boring person I know.
I'm kidding. But you're
super boring.
You know, much as one wouldn't go to the gym and just work legs the whole time, right? If you really want to be good in any kind of corporate setting, you have to be a bit of a generalist. Mm-hmm. And you can have your tastes and you can have your aptitude, and you'd rather do art than accounting, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But the accountant or the CFO stands in the way of you getting your kick-ass creative project funded, the aforementioned Project Banana, right? Mm-hmm. So can you be a great artist and a great creator and innovator and yet work within a system that says, yeah, you need to wear shoes, or mm-hmm. yeah, you need to show up by this hour, or yeah, you should stop with the profanities, or whatever's kind of keeping you from true.
Did you like expression. Research me? Because all
yeah.
of,
like, I was going to say, did he see you not wearing shoes?
I mean, it's a thing.
Did you talk
but then,
to
like,
Kevin
the
about the all team?
You did your research.
But that's your brand.
That's fair.
Right? You got the, folks, he's got his inked up arms, and he's living the brand of a creative. And but
is.
We pay, they overpay at Firespring for that creativity.
That is exactly what we're known
so
for.
So if he was dressed like a banker or something, God forbid, an accountant, then...
Something's not right there.
Right? And he's turning red, too, to match some of
no,
the zinc.
Like, I'm flustered, right? That was fun. All right, I am going to shift us to lightning round, where we give our listeners the opportunity to write in with questions and also participate in the picking of your brain. So, what marketing strategy does your team use to create messaging for children and young adults who watch your programs that are not only positive, but impresses on them the importance of working for good in their communities? That's from Chris.
All right, Chris. Well, we have the good fortune of several minutes an hour that aren't commercial supported. So we have these short form opportunities. Y'all remember it if you've watched Disney Channel. You'll mm-hmm. learn about the latest Disney park attraction or the latest Disney theatrical film. And yet within that, we have pro-social messaging.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a mandate, but it's something we organically want to do. There's always something compelling to report on for kids about what the Disney company is up to. And we, in terms of a marketing strategy per se, we're just telling stories that we think they'd be interested in. Mm-hmm. And we are not speaking way under them and trying to kidify it. It's remarkably adult in its message. We just try to simplify it and make it enjoyable. What would a 9-year-old want to know about this given experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of storytelling in the video form about that, and the strategy truly is just giving them what they want. It requires we keep our ears wide open and talk to kids more than the other companies, and that our special entertainment with heart can be about something that's good for you per se. It sucks to market broccoli, so we have to do it in a way that's pretty good for you, but you didn't even realize you were drinking a broccoli shake or whatever the metaphor
right,
is, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I think that's something as a parent, so I have a child who's almost 8, so she has tried to get sucked into the YouTube verse, but I've been resisting because of some of the content that I absolutely don't want her to digest and get informed of. So how are, I mean, within this new paradigm, like you're saying, people can watch crap all day on their phones and kind of go to mush. What's been, how have you guys, like you said you have to say no, but how have you guys gone against that? Because I can just see how many times people have come to you and been like, let's do the thing. It's going to be so profitable. So how are you guys holding true to those values?
Yeah, if it was easy, everyone would do it. But all the entertainment studios are thinking the same thing. What do we do that's faddish? Should we go out and get a show just like that one or an influencer just like that one? And so it's hard to find good storytelling, right? Just because there's a bunch of guitar centers doesn't mean virtuosity at the guitar is any easier to do. Or mm-hmm. just because there's a YouTube of every kind of song or video out there that it's any easier to be good at it. So we're just trying to hold to our quality imperative. Special Entertainment with Heart is another kind of three-legged stool that if we fall short on something, you know, there's Entertainment with Heart and that's not very special, and that's called, you know, Ugly Dolls movie. And there's special there's special entertainment that's not particularly heartfelt, and that's called the Emoji movie. So yeah. There are a lot of dum-dums at other studios that think it's really easy to do special entertainment with heart, and it's glaringly obvious when they come up short.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'd have well to said. Agree.
Well, this was amazing, first of all. I super enjoyed, like, just the conversation, picking your brain. Like, you were just very transparent and real with us. Which is always cool.
Well, thank you.
I know. For real. We're gonna come back to that when we're off air.
Yeah. I would say live long and prosper, but then you'd ding me as saying, that's not Star Wars, John.
Nope. That's like, do you want to end this friendship? What are you doing? Come on, man. Like, yeah. We just started. No, but this was amazing. Thank you so much for like making the journey out here to do more good and for sitting down with, I know your schedule's crazy, and like for you to carve out time to sit with the two of us and riff over all things, you know, impact and business. It's just, it means a lot. So thank you very much.
Well, it's my pleasure. It charges my batteries and kind of warms my heart to be with like-minded folks. And so the Do More Good Conference has been great, as Firespring always is. And it's always great to get back to Nebraska.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Thank you all Welcome so much.
Home. Thanks, John. That one though, right?
I know. Like, I feel like you fanboyed a little bit.
I did. I fanboyed pretty hard.
Okay. I did earlier. It's fine. Yeah.
I don't like embarrass easy, like that's not who I am.
I don't know if I've seen you get that red before.
Was I super red? I felt super red. Like I feel sweaty now.
That's okay.
It's weird.
I'm having a little LaCroix, but I just think it's something, you know, we're in the agency side, and mm-hmm. so we work with clients a lot who want to do things sometimes, and we're like, no, don't do that. You're going to bastardize what you guys have been trying to stand for. And to hear that Disney is even still saying like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to stick to our focal point and what we want to be about, I think is something that's, to me, inspiring. And I'm going to take to my clients when they ask me to do a thing that's going to be terrible for them and be like, no, mm-hmm. Disney want to do it, so you shouldn't do it either. But
right.
I just think people kind of get lost in the stars sometimes of mm-hmm. the big idea, even though it's not true to their brand or true to their archetype or what they're standing for.
Right, and just because a trend is a trend right now, right? Like, there's trends and then there's timeless.
Yeah, and we've said it a lot on this podcast. It's about the long game, not the mm-hmm, short game. Mm-hmm. And I think Disney obviously has continued to focus on that long game.
Right.
And so,
well, and just the idea or the prospect that we're potentially going to get to go to, you know, all three Star Wars things and do follow-up
obviously, everyone heard it. It's like now required. We can't not deliver.
I'm pretty sure that anything said on a podcast is a verbal contract, right? Like, Dustin, can you Google that for me real quick?
I was on Google. Sure. It's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. He's confirming. So we'll
Dustin good. Never yeah. lies. So that's a truth.
Yeah. No, this was fun. I do feel bad. I don't think John knew what he was signing up for.
Probably
with respect
not.
To his inbox blowing up about Star Wars and Project Banana and all the things that I'm going to follow up on. But this was great. So everybody at home, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, do make sure that you connect with us on social media, right? We want to know your guys' ideas, who we should be talking to. If you're out in the community driving impact, driving purpose, let us know, right? Angie and I would love to pick your brain, have a conversation with you, and just find out what good is being done in the world today, right?
Yeah, and how it's different, right? As you've been listening, all these stories are different and have different starting points. They're in large cities, small cities. And so it's kind of cool to keep uncovering that. So please enlighten us.
Absolutely. Well, homies, until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we'll catch you on the flip.
Are you hungry for the usual today? Or are you ready to spice things up with the new Nashville Hot Brisket from Firehouse Subs? We're kicking up our slow-smoked beef brisket with Nashville Hot Seasoning. It's topped with melted pepper jack and our sweet and tangy slaw, served piping hot on a toasted cornbread roll. Yeah, a cornbread roll. Save time. Order your new Nashville Hot Brisket on the Firehouse Subs app today. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you hungry for the usual today? Or are you ready to spice things up with the new Nashville Hot Brisket from Firehouse Subs? We're kicking up our slow-smoked beef brisket with Nashville Hot Seasoning. It's topped with melted pepper jack and our sweet and tangy slaw, served piping hot on a toasted cornbread roll. Yeah, a cornbread roll. Save time. Order your new Nashville Hot Brisket on the Firehouse Subs app today. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations limited time only.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right.
What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made. Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer, that's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.